world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
The alternative Christian media. That's what I've been thinking about for a while. The alternative Christian media. That's us, you know. That's those of us who are Christians that are out of the mainstream, who are sick and tired of the phony Christianity we see floating around us every day. We are the alternative Christian media. And thanks to Spencer and Jared and the guys, we're streaming for the first time on where are we streaming today, Jared? Or Spencer? We're on X, whatever that means. We're streaming live on X today for the first time. And hey, folks, promote what we do here. Promote what we do here. If you like it, if your faith has grown because of this, why wouldn't you share this with others? Now, I don't know how to do that, because if somebody says, hey, Coach Dave, have you listened to this guy? My first reaction is, oh, I got enough of that. And so you're probably going to run into that too. But if I went right through here right now and said, okay, a little bit of testimony time. How many have had your life changed by watching Coach Dave live? I believe a lot of hands would go up. And it's not because of Coach Dave, me. I run the show. Rush Limbaugh, I run the show. It's not about me. It's about what happens here. It's about the sharing of ideas. It's about not being afraid to throw a piece of meat on the table and cut it up and chew it up and spit it out if we like it and not spit it out if we don't. But at the end of the day, you walk away from here far more informed than the average Christian that you run into, right? Yesterday, I got a couple emails. I could go on and on and on dispensationalism and John Darby. So I got emails yesterday from people who said, you know, I never knew any of that. I never knew any of that. Is there anybody out there who would say, I never knew any of that? Right now, anybody say, I never knew any of that? I didn't know that. John Darby, only in the last 100 years is this dispensationalism. And I'm not here to criticize dispensationalism. I'm asking you and I, where are you getting your information? And I don't know. How would you promote Coach Dave Live to somebody? What would you say to him? Say, well, we go there because we talk about Christian issues. Boy, that sounds exciting. Well, that sure sounds exciting. Right? I mean, I don't even know how to promote it. I'm going to tell you this, though. You better understand this, my friends. Those who have large shows, the kings of this earth have promoted them. Do you think big religion would ever promote Coach Dave Live? No, they wouldn't, would they? Huh? And if you ask everybody, I'm going to get into it here. We're going to do the communion. I'm going to get into it. I got some good stuff. Thanks to all of you who've been praying for me. I'm feeling a lot better. I actually played in my golf league last night, and true story, I hit every drive right down the middle. Every drive. Now, I wasn't always the best drive on the team, but every drive. Meaning what? I can control my hips again, okay? Cool. Hey, listen. Communion. Joe, get ready. Joe's having a little bit of, oh, no, he got it going maybe. He's having a little bit of visual problems. Everybody's up and running with it. And, boy, I came across something that really convicted me. I couldn't find it this morning. Folks, we don't take this very seriously. We get little packaged cups and little pregnant. That's communion. And really, it's called the breaking of the bread, right? And really, what communion is supposed to be is what we're going to do here in a minute is the gathering of the saints. They come together and they do this in remembrance of Jesus. It should be a really, really holy moment. And It's hard to be a holy moment when you're drinking out of a little cup. Isn't it? We've commercialized everything. We've made it easy in church. Everybody just passes out a cup to everybody. When the real breaking of the bread, Bible says as often as you do this, when we come together, see, we can't come together. We come together here, what's this word they use? Virtually. Come together virtually. We're not in the same room, not even in the same time zone. Makes it difficult. But this is serious stuff. It was one of the really true commands that the Lord gave us. As often as you do this in memory of me. I don't know if we do. Really don't know if we do. We've cheapened so much stuff in Christianity. I'm going to dive into that today. Hang in there with us. And don't forget Sky High on January 4th. Fireworks. Come have fun. Come join us.
July.
Sky High. You can watch out. What's up, Betty?
July,
I'm sorry. July 4th. You can watch the sky. You can watch fireworks out all over Buckeye Lake. It's pretty cool. Joe, come on, brother. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you, Lord Jesus, for our chance to be here. And, Lord, we apologize to you that we have so diminished your sacrifice. We made your sacrifice about money, health, wealth, influence, prestige, fame. And we just thank you this morning that you went and died on that cross, that you so loved the world, that you gave your son, something that most of us can't even begin to understand at all. Amen. My wife just snuck down in my studio.
Thursday, July 3rd.
Boy, I got her going, didn't I? Thursday, July 3rd are the fireworks. Thursday, July 3rd. Boy, I got spanked on that one. Thanks, honey. I love my wife. Come on in, Joe. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I love that little woman. Like I wonder, Michelle, how many times a day did I tell you I love you? Never stops. I love that little woman so much. I came to you. Even though we're yin and yang, man, oh, man. Joe, come on in.
Thank you, Coach. Yeah, if I can't get the camera to work.
That's all right, buddy.
But I'm still hiding.
All right.
Incognito mode, I guess.
All right.
Anyway, the reading this morning is Galatians 2, 16 to 21.
Can you see it, Joe, or do you want me to read
it? Yeah, I can see it.
Okay, go ahead.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law.
Works matter, friends. Don't let him tell you that works don't matter. Works is an outward expression of what you believe. Don't you dare let them tell you that works don't matter. Works will not get you into heaven, but works are evidence of your salvation. Don't let them tell you works don't matter. Go ahead, Joe.
For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Right.
But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners.
Yep.
Is therefore Christ the minister of sin?
Nope.
God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor.
Oh boy.
For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God.
Thank you, Lord.
I am crucified with Christ.
Yep.
Nevertheless, I live.
Not I.
Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
What's that old song, Joe? Somewhere along the line, I can't remember where it was, said, I'm not afraid of dying, it's just the thought of being dead. That's powerful, isn't it? What if you're living a life where you're dead and that's it? That's just it? You're just dead. The end of it, you're dead. They put you in a box. They stick you in the ground. You're dead. We have hope beyond the grave, folks. We have hope beyond the grave. We're going to live forever somewhere. Why? Because we're a spirit. We are spirit. We just happen to live in a body. We possess a soul, but we're a spirit. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry. Not sorry.
Yeah, I agree with Betty that some people are walking dead.
Yep, that's true.
I think that's a lot of people. A
lot of Christians, in fact, Joe. A lot of Christians.
Yeah. And the more you learn about God.
Hang on, folks. I criticize our team. I'm a coach, all right? I know what the other team's doing. I'm not worrying about them. I'm coaching our team. I criticize our team. That's what coaches do, by the way. Go ahead.
The more I learn, the more I realize I knew almost nothing before.
Amen.
And that I've had encounters now, and God is love. That's what he is.
Amen. He's love. Amen.
So, dear Heavenly Father, Coach started this prayer already, and he admitted that we really don't understand, Lord, how you, the creator of all things, gave your only begotten Son, that we who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we just can't fathom that. We can say it, we can speak it, we can maybe intellectually try to understand it, but we really can't fathom it, Lord. We really can't fathom it. It's hard to really understand the creator of all, and then to have you give up that for us at all at risk. And I know we often say we're not worthy, but in some manner we had to be worthy, otherwise you would not have done that, Lord. So we pray that we can find in ourselves that the part that you saw worthy and help that grow. Let us plant that seed and let that grow, that part. That's part that you found worthy is, I believe, the part that is an ambassador for Jesus, that we here are his ambassadors. Let that seed begin to grow from today on more and more and more so that we understand you, that we hear your voice. For we are your sheep and you are our shepherd, and we hear your voice. And let us be better ambassadors. Let us do what Jesus would do when we encounter situations. And we are encountering them a lot, Lord. There's a lot of warfare right now. I can feel it, that things are trying to go against us, like my silly camera this morning. And who knows what other things are going to try to pop up today. But let not the old me that might have gotten frustrated and angry jump out, but let a new me emerge. Let a new all of us emerge today with these challenges that we face, whether they're personal or our family or in our local or regional or national politics or if it's health or finances, it doesn't really matter, Lord. Let us deal with it the way that you would deal with it. And if it comes to praying, let us pray when we face a challenge. Let us pray with expectation that you hear and answer our prayers. Because often we pray and the words fall to the ground because we don't have any faith behind what we pray. So from now on, Lord, let us pray with expectation of receiving what we ask for, or even more, even better, because your ways are better, Lord. And we we ask that you forgive us our sins and our transgressions as we prepare to take communion. Bring us cleansed into your sight. Forgive us our sins and transgressions. Bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed for us so many years ago, that we may who believe in him may have everlasting life. And we pray that we remember the authority that was restored with the resurrection. Let us not have that lame teaching that so many churches do, that the only miracle is salvation and nothing else remains. No, our Lord restored even better what was there before in the garden in the fall. He restored it. That's why when we pray, we can pray with expectation, Lord, because our authority is restored. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. The same night, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped. "As oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
I'm sorry, I coughed, so I'm muted. I said, thank you, Joe. Thanks for being faithful, getting up and do that. Pull up number one. I'm going somewhere this morning. I'm going to ask you, hang on a minute before. let me ask you, I want you to ponder this as we listen to this, okay? Here's a question I wrote down. Who speaks for the American church? We talked the other day about 44,000 denominations. Who is America's Christian spokesperson? You don't have to answer. I just want you to think. Who is that? Right now, we know that Donald Trump has as his advisor Paula White. Does Paula White speak for America? I'm going to jump into some of that stuff. I want you to ponder this as we listen to Pastor Mark Driscoll as well. I could get into that. See, the pastorate, the way we've designed it, God bless those of you who are pastors. Do not take this wrong. Take it however you want. Christianity, the pastor-run church, it's not Christian, folks. It's not Christian. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, teachers. Huh? So it says some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers, they call it the fivefold ministry, but four and five are really connected. Pastors and teachers, pastors and teachers, pastors and teachers. And we've somehow got ourselves over the last, I think because of satellite TV more than anything. We now have We now have celebrity pastors. Celebrity pastors, wealthy celebrity pastors. Then we have a group of pastors come along who are not wealthy celebrity pastors, but they model their church after the pastor celebrities, right? Just like I sit here and say, man, if I could just, boy, if the kings of this earth, if they would just tap me instead of Joe Rogan, oh boy, if the kings of this earth would just tap me instead of Franklin Graham, oh, you understand what I'm talking about? Kings of this earth set themselves, rulers take counsel together. And so we end up having I'm going to show you. Stay with me. We end up having a powerless Christian hierarchy. Now, say what you want to. The Pope represents all Catholics. At least he's supposed to. Now, we know this. Most Catholics couldn't care less who the Pope is. They don't care. Finally got an American Pope. Well, for what that's worth. I'm sorry. It seems like I'm all over the place. I'm going somewhere. Don't leave. Mark Driscoll, Charlie Clerk, put it at 1.5 speed, because Mark Driscoll, Pastor Mark Driscoll, pardon me, famous Pastor Mark Driscoll. It's a pretty good thing. Go ahead and play it.
What does the Bible tell us about Satan? Is it true that Satan and or Lucifer rebelled as an angel of God? Is that an inference? Is that a folktale?
Could you honestly tell me when was the last time you were in church and your pastor taught you about Satan? Would anybody be willing to say, we get one of those every month? Our pastor taught. No. Our adversary.
People are afraid, Coach.
We're not ignorant of his devices. We're very ignorant of his devices. We're very ignorant of it. Huh? We are. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we don't even know what that means. Randy goes out and starts staking places. Craig starts throwing salt in the river. Huh? We don't, what? We're kind of on our own, aren't we, in this American Christian battle? We're kind of on our own. You can turn on TV fakes if you want to. Turn on Rick Warren. You can turn on Franklin Graham. Who speaks for it? Go ahead. Go ahead and play it.
And or Lucifer rebelled as an angel of God. Is that an inference? Is that a folktale? Is that tradition? Let's just start with that. Who is Satan and how much power does he have?
Yeah. And if you go to realfaith.com, all my Bible teaching is free. You get what you pay for. Lower your expectations. But it's all there. And there's a book I wrote with my wife and a series I did called Win Your War, and it's all on Satan and the demonic, and it's all free. But anyways, there's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then there are two realms that form one reality. There's the unseen realm of the spirit, and then there's the physical realm that we inhabit. And what's interesting is the entire progressive woke world downplays or denies the spiritual altogether. So like the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders on how to help people who are struggling, mentions the soul zero times. There is no acknowledgement that you have a soul. We are one person in two parts. We have a physical body and a spiritual soul. Our physical body was built for this world. Our soul was built to connect with God in that world. And so in that way, what we experience as human beings correlates with the reality that God made. So there's one God. And as there are beings that inhabit our physical world, men and women, there are beings that inhabit the spiritual world, angels and demons, all started as angels. Angels are messengers and ministers and servants of God.
Angel is messenger. Yeah, exactly. And in Hebrew, it literally means
exactly.
Messenger.
Messenger and minister.
Yeah.
Now it says in Revelation that there was a war in heaven, Revelation 12, that Satan decided that he would try and overthrow,
usurp
God. And so everything that God creates, Satan counterfeits. Everything that God builds, Satan breaks. Everything that God has, Satan tries to steal. And so what happens is there's a war in heaven. And it says that Michael and the angels won the war, Revelation 12. Satan and the demons were cast down. Jesus said it was a third of the heavenly host. So a third of the angels now became dark. They're still divine beings. They're still supernatural. They're under God. They're not equal to God. They don't share his attributes. They immediately take the war to Adam and Eve. And they're trying to rule on earth because they lost their war in heaven. They won their war on earth. And then they took over humanity. So now the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world.
That's Paul. Yeah,
yeah, that he
Jesus
rules and
prince,
reigns.
Prince of this world. Yeah.
And so Satan can't be everywhere and doesn't know all things. He doesn't share God's attributes.
Got it.
But it's like a military with a commander in chief. And the Bible uses military language like archangels, which is a military term, to refer to the demonic realm like soldiers. And then Paul says our war is not against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, and spirits. So what we're up against is not just a physical war, but there's a war behind that war that's a spiritual war.
That's super helpful. Best, honestly, summary that I've heard. So is it fair to say God created everything, Genesis 1-1, including all the angels?
Yep.
Is it too far of a reach to say God then gave the angels agency?
They've always had agency because love requires agency. If you take away free will, you take away love because love is a choice.
Yes.
And so my wife Grace and I have been faithfully married 30 years. And it's not because every day she puts a gun to my head, but because I choose to love her. And so you can get obedience without love and agency, but you can't get love without agency. And so God allows choice and freedom and will so that there can be love and genuine relationships.
Yes.
And so what we're seeing, you know, right now in our world, it's spiritual. And there are physical realities, but they're caused by spiritual entities. I mean, how else do you explain like human trafficking and drug cartels and open border and mutilation of children in the name of care and state seizing custody of children with mental health disorders like gender dysphoria? How do you have, you know, our world exist where everything that is dark is called light and everything that is wrong is called right? It's demonic. There is an agenda that's at work to destroy everyone and everything that God made.
And so what we're living through, and this gets to your book, New Days, Old Demons, is that there are certain demons or spirits, as you say, the spirit of Jezebel, or it could be remanifested in the spirit of Aphrodite, right?
Yep.
That have temporary dominion over this world, whether it be the Aztecs or the Mayans.
Every culture.
That they re-manifest themselves in predictable ways.
Yeah, the patterns are the same. And so, I mean, there was recently a study that came out, I think it was this week, that 7 in 10 Americans, I think it was according to Gallup, believe in angels. 7 in 10 Americans. And so there is a curiosity about the supernatural and the spiritual. Now, just like you wouldn't trust every human being, you can't trust every divine being. Mm-hmm. And so discernment is getting to know, like, is that a good person or a bad person? Is that a good spirit or a bad spirit? So the Bible says, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. So what we have is people who believe in angels, but they don't understand demons. And so what they could be doing is living a spiritual life. We don't want to live a spiritual life. We want to live a spirit-filled life. We don't want unholy spirits. We only want the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of confusion. I think that's what's driving general vague spirituality, deconstructionism, progressive Christianity, the woke joke folk, the BLM Christians, and the rainbow flag pastors who've come out of Satan's closet. I think it's all the same demonic forces.
You've been doing this for 20, 30 years?
30 years in
the pulpit. And it's worse than ever in the Christian space, correct?
Well, what has happened is it used to be, so you know this, the transition. What is being taught at the university today will be normative in the culture tomorrow.
That's our hypothesis of my life's work.
So upstream is the university and downstream is the culture. So I got saved in college. I did college ministry forever. I taught the Bible basically near the CHOP zone in the People's Republic of Seattle for about 20 years, which every day was like a double date with Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. I mean, it was always very interesting. 10,000 people got baptized. I got canceled.
Our producer was one of them, Andrew. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And so then what happens is if you've been in a university in a bright blue dot city, you are looking at the future. Because those people,
that's so true.
Because those people will go upstream and make culture. They'll become your politicians, your media personnel, your lawyers, your judges. And so for me, I have lived in this reality for decades, and now it's just found its way to places like Alabama.
That's really
so exciting. I come from the future.
And prophet literally means to see forward, right?
Yeah.
To be able to see what is coming next. And when you spend time at universities, you can see what is coming. But in Christianity in particular, the seminaries, the capture of institutions that were otherwise biblical or theological becoming woke. Did you see that coming?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because the trend is, it's like gravity. Gravity never pushes things up. It only pulls things down. If you believe that we live in a sinful, fallen, and cursed world, the force of gravity is down. So if you want things to regress, you don't need to do anything. If you want progress, you got to work. So every institution veers left. Some go fast, some go slow, but all go left and all go down.
Wow. That's pretty good, isn't it, folks? Isn't that pretty good? That all, yes, we tend towards evil. That's why Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. Now, put it in the chat if you would, Spence. Now, ask yourself this. How can American government, culture, whatever, how can it thrive without the salt of the earth? Let's say that the earth, people, America, government is controlled by the wicked one. Will it get better if we take our hands off of it? If we don't talk about it and we don't promote it and we don't get in the pulpit and show people what's going on, do we really think it will get better? Because as Mark Driscoll just said, it's downward. It's negative. It's pulling down. Sin is gravity. It pulls down. We have to counterbalance it. We have to push back against it. We don't know how to do it. People in the church have no understanding of spiritual issues. Okay, so hang on here. I'm going to come back here a bit. I'll ask you this. Who speaks for the American church? I'm going to, somebody want to throw a name out there? If we have a crisis in America, who do we turn to?
Rick Warren? Franklin Graham.
Franklin Graham? Let me ask you a question, just for me. Why would we turn to either one of those guys? They've been in power and authority as this has gotten worse. You do understand that, don't you? I know what, let's call them focus on the scamly. I'm sorry, family. Focus on the family. I'm sorry, I got that. Focus on the scamly. No. I bet they got a lot of money. What's that other one? Family Research Council. Yeah. That'd be it, right? So we'll go to the Family Scamly Research Council and focus on the scamly, and that way the pastors won't have to do anything. That way the pastors won't have to say anything. They just tell people, go listen to James Dobson, go listen to Franklin Graham, go listen to T.D. Fakes, go listen to those guys. We're not going to deal with it here. We're not going to deal with it here because we're just going to wipe noses and wipe butts and make everybody happy here in our church. You know I'm telling you the truth, right? You know I'm telling you the truth. So I did a little bit. Okay, hang on. Let me ask you it again. Who speaks for God in the American culture? Paula White. Vinny, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say we've allowed gatekeepers to speak for us, Coach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. T.D. Fakes, Paula White. Huh? If Paula White knocked on my door, I wouldn't let her in. But she's got the ear of the President of the United States. Why does she have the ear of the President of the United States? I'll get to it in a minute. Betty?
I don't trust Franklin. I don't trust any of them. I trust Pastor Dale. I trust Pastor Bill. Those that have really the Holy Spirit in them. And you can tell by the way they walk.
Can I tell you something? Thanks, Betty. Folks, you know this? I want to be like Mike. Does anybody remember that? I want to be like Mike. Michael Jordan. Remember what? Anybody remember that? I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Mike. Nike came up with that because they've made a lot of money off of Michael Jordan. I want to be like Mike. Now we have pastors that say, I want to be like TD. I want to be like TD. I want to be like Franklin. I want to be like Rick Warren. And that's what they try to do. It's the model that they've now given us. And as a result, the people have no understanding at all of Christianity. I'm going someplace. Hang on with me. The model's broken. The model's broken. And what we see in America throughout Christianity is little pockets of T.D. Jakes. The guy starts his church and he patterns it after. Go to World Harvest Church. I'm not making fun of World Harvest Church. They have their they have a university, whatever they call that there. It would come to me here in a second. And they train all the pastors the same, and then they form a network of them. You get that right? That's the way they do it. World Harvest Bible College produces little World Harvest guys who want to be Rod Parsley. Jeff Nair, you think I'm making that up? Anybody think I'm making that up? That's what it is. And so we have guys who are in the pulpit, telling you the truth now, guys are in the pulpit. Not all of them, but they're seeking fame and fortune. That's why I say my great frustration is I sit here every day. All I want is influence. I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be rich. I want influence. I want people to listen to Coach Dave live because we wake people up. I can't hardly walk into a church because they tell me stuff I already know. Somebody say amen so I know I'm not the only one. They tell me stuff I already know.
Amen.
I got that. I learned that 15 years ago, thank you. I learned that 15 years ago. You say, well, Coach, we got new guys coming in each week. We have new believers. Okay, so then what about the old believers? We have to sit there and listen to the first grade again? Is that what we're supposed to do? Or should I take somebody sitting on the front row who's faithful soldier of Christ and have them disciple that person who's never been in the church before? Rather than coming and have the pastor have I'm trying to think of the animal, a cat, any cat, has a lot of teats. You know what teats are? Huh? Where they can all get in there and suck the milk off the same teat. That's what the American church has become. I don't care if it makes you mad. I'm telling you the truth. We have become so ineffective in the culture, so much so, we can't wait to get out of here. Julie, come on in.
Good morning. Yeah. I think God's now exposing all these churches for the corruption and the evilness. And it's going to shock a lot of people.
It's just greed and pride with God's blessing on it. That's all it is. That's all these big churches. It's greed, pride with God's blessing on it. Glenn, think God's blessing on it. Go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, when you talk about the church pattern, what it really is monkey see, monkey do.
Yes, sir.
Monkey see, monkey do. But really, in reality, most churches, it's a musical chair operation because a lot of people just go from one church to another. So I question how many new people are getting converted in the church. I know some of them are. But
church growth, hey, Glenn, church growth usually is from people from other churches coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
They leave their church and they go to a new church because it's more glamorous and exciting and popular, and right? Folks.
Yeah, people have heard about the great worship. They have great music and the worship's great and the pastor preaches, you know. You got to come to our church.
That's right. So. That's right. That's right.
Oh, let's check it out, Betty.
Oh, I feel so good. Oh, I felt so good when I went there. Well, good. Did they ever ask you to do anything? other than give them money? Did they ever challenge you to do something? What if you had to go to church? What if you showed up on church on Sunday morning and you had to hand to the usher when you walked in a list of things that you had done for the kingdom before you could take your seat? Or are you just going to be a Christian welfare? Just go and take and never give. Oh, I'm heading someplace. Don't leave me. Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, Coach. Great teaching. We were talking about that the other day. Well, first of all, people chase after signs, and the Bible says signs will follow us.
That's right.
Remember the Brownsville revival down, was that Florida, wherever it was? And I'm not disputing that it was a revival. But what happened is people went there, pastors went there, and they came back, they wanted to duplicate that, right?
That's exactly right. They wanted their church to be like that because they wanted to be the star also.
Yep. Oh, Smiley, well, Joel Osteen, you know, he says some kind of prayer every morning or some kind of declaration before every church service, right? Every church across America seen how rich he got, and they started saying the same thing. Coaches, it is interesting, though, back in I was going to have a lion's den experience where you could have that, go be like Daniel and go and sit in the lion's den and have that experience. That didn't go over well. And the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego furnace experience. That didn't go over well. Nobody showed up for that.
Yeah, that's right. But they showed up for the good music and the smoke machines and the flashing lights, didn't they? They showed up for that. Joe Allen. Hang on, I'm going somewhere. I'm still not there yet. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, here's an observation from a Christian meat suit. COVID can show what our churches were about. We see who controls our churches. All our big leaders in our churches could stand up, but they're under control. COVID showed us what our churches are about. Not us. Not us meat suits. Mm-mm. No, sir.
So if we were being measured by this being the solid, look at me. I don't believe in a works salvation. You don't have to earn your salvation. However, I believe in works after salvation. I believe in that. I believe that's what it means when he says you're the salt of the earth. It means you got to do some work. What's the last thing been required of you at your church? Require anything of you at all? Well, no, because you don't go there for that. You go there to be cheered up, encouraged by the music. Vinny, go ahead. I'm still heading someplace. Don't leave yet. I got 22 minutes.
Yeah, this is gonna speed you on the way. So these pastors are supposed to be watchmen. But what good are these watchmen when they only alert you when the wolf is already at your door and there's no place for you to go?
Spencer, pull up Isaiah 56 real quickly. Go ahead. You're right, Vinny. Isaiah 56. We've played this before, starting in verse 10. Keep on going down verse 10. His watchmen are blind. What do you say? They're all dumb dogs. They're ignorant. They cannot bark. What good is a dog that can't bark?
Boom.
My daughter's dog, Charlie. I expect Charlie to be dead any day. He comes down every day. We throw him a piece of meat. He lays on the floor. He can't even bark. Lying down, loving to slumber, fat, lazy, got his life all set. Those are greedy dogs which cannot have enough. And there's shepherds that cannot understand. Why? Because they all look to their own way. Everyone from his own quarter for his own gain, building a bigger church, getting more famous, getting more influence, getting richer. Come ye, say they, we'll get some wine, we'll fill ourselves with strong drink, we'll get some smoke machines, we'll get a good worship leader. And tomorrow will be just better than it's ever been. I'm standing on some pretty good ground here. Still not where I want to go. Go, James. Come on in.
Yeah, that's pretty good there, brother. It's kind of makes you think, you know. But hey, James, I mean,
would you say that America's watchmen are blind? Would that be a fair thing to say? First of all, who are our watchmen?
And yeah, would you say I would say, I mean, you have to go way back, you know, when the church out of Rome, those people are persecuted and they loved not their lives unto death. And so, you know, it was growing so fast. The church was growing so fast. Satan says, wait, hold on a second. I got to infiltrate. If I infiltrate the church, it will stop. And that's Constantine, when he made the Christian church, the religion of the church, we went into a thing called the Dark Ages. I mean, there was no word at all going forth because of this. And so when Satan infiltrates the church, the Holy Spirit is removed. And I would say 85% of the churches in America don't have the Holy Spirit as the governor of their church.
So I've had a technical issue. Why did the pilgrims come here? Why did the pilgrims come here? Did you ever read the Mayflower Compact? They left England because the king of England was head of the church and the head of the government. They said, we're out of here. We're out of here. God's king. God's governor. And we're going to go over to America and we're going to start a Christian nation. With a separation between the government. We don't want a king over the church and a king over the government. We want a king, a leader over the government. But we don't want the government king over the church. But we are right now exactly where the pilgrims were. They said, we're out of here. We ain't going to do this anymore. Okay, so I want to show you some things here. Because I've been asking, and nobody's really giving me a good answer. If calamity struck tomorrow, who would Christian America look to? Does anybody have an answer for me on that?
You.
Coach Dave Light. Yeah, other than me. Who would stand up and grab the pulpit and be the Christian leader in America right now? Does anybody? I'm asking a very honest question.
No one.
Paula White? Paula White? Rick Warren? Really? Really? TD fakes? Okay, so you ready? Here we go. Poem number 6. I'm going to show you. I'm going to run through some here in a question. I just Googled this morning, who are America's Christian leaders? Top 100 Christian leaders in America. And you tell me if you know any of their influence at all in the culture. Not building churches, not having big ministries. Franklin Graham, Joel Osteen, Mark Burnett, and Roma Downey, creators of the television series The Bible. They're Christian leaders now. Cardinal Donald Rural, Billy Graham, Rick Warren, Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee. Jerry Falwell Jr., Joyce Meyer. Pat Robertson, Ronnie Floyd, Dr. Richard Land. There's 100 of them. 100 of them. John Hagee. Victoria Osteen. Joel Osteen's wife. Tim LaHaye wrote Left Behind. He screwed us all up. Oh, my. Is this something? Huh? I don't even know who these people are. Does anybody know who most of these people are? These are the leaders. Well, Catherine Jeffers Sharp, presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church of the United States. Oh, yeah, there you go. How about Floyd Flake? What a name that is. Pastor of Greater Allen AME Cathedral in Jamaica, New York, where they just elected a just nominated a communist Muslim, right? Rick Santorum, huh? What, anybody even know where he is? I'm Mark Driscoll. He made 36. Tim Tebow. Oh my goodness! Oh, Eric Metaxas, speaker and author. Folks, these are Christian leaders. Tony Perkins. Oh, Charles Stanley. Oh my goodness, folks! Have any of these people done anything at all to be the salt of the earth and light of the world in the culture? Creflo Dollar Bill. Ted Bayer, founder and publisher of the Family-Friendly Movie Guide. Yeah, he's a mover and a shaker. Get that off there, okay? Kirk Cameron. Oh, there you go. Those are our leaders. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. But can I tie something with you? Wow. Pull number four. Oh, wait a minute. Well, no. Pull up number three. Because this is a revised list of Christian leaders. Oh, maybe we ought to go there. Top 20 richest pastors in America. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Number one, Kenneth Copeland. 300. Hey, Ray LeBlanc, how did Kenneth Copeland make $300 million? Anybody know how he did that? Anybody know? And how many people went to his whatever they call that place where he went, and they want to be 300 millionaires too? Do you know of anybody? Folks, these are our Christian leaders. And ask yourself as I run down this top 10 list, if any of them are involved in any way, shape, or form in organizing, being salt and light to the government. Joel Osteen, Pat Robertson, Stephen Furtick, look at the money they make. Andy Stanley, Dollar Bill, Creflo Dollar. Folks, how do these guys get worth this amount of money? It's a business. Jesse, do plant some money in my garden. TD Fakes, Greg Laurie. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think that they'd be invested their money, right? Okay. There's more, another one. Hang on. Another one. Let's go to three more leaders. More leaders. 20 of the most. Hang on. Leave it right there. This is March 26, 2024. This is why we're in the mess we're in. 20 of the most influential Christian leaders of the modern era. Now, this is a different list by a different guy. Okay? Well, let's see who he says the 20 most influential. Hey, see if these guys are cultural warriors at all. Scroll on down. Number one is Rick Warren, Purpose-Driven Life, followed by Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Scamly, Pastor Joel Osteen, Greg Laurie, Billy Graham, Archbishop Timothy Dolan, Andrew White, Ronnie Floyd. Anybody know any of these guys? Mary Ann Glendon, Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. I believe he's dead, isn't he? Jim Winkler, Robert George. You ought to read the bios where these guys are from. Bishop Reginald Jackson. Calvin Butts, appointed to economic development boards by the governor. Butts has worked to revitalize inter-city neighborhoods. Oh. John Mark Comer. Is there an example of a Christian leader who's teaching out in every direction today in multiple ministry? Comer is it. One-time member of the Christian worship band Telecast, founding pastor of Portland's Bridgetown Church, and New York Times best-selling author. Well, there you go. Chris Galanos. Do you guys know him? Is he gonna take on the wicked one for us? Paul Crouch. Oh, yeah. Pope Francis. Obviously, he's dead. Huh? Bishop T.D. Fakes. Bobby Shuler. It's true. Bobby Shuler is a Christian leader. Who was what, grandson of Robert Shuler? Let's see.
the efforts of his famous and dearly departed granddaddy, Robert Schuller. Bobby's in charge. I know sarcasm. I know the sarcasm's deep. Pull up number 7. I don't want to hear from you. What church is a problem? Pull up number 7, Spencer. Last 50 years. Are you ready for this? High impact Christian leaders in the past 50 years. How long ago would 50 years be? This is 2025. That'd be 75. Folks, I'm not making this up. Fred Rogers? Bono? What? Mother Teresa? Denzel Washington? Francis Collins, Timothy Keller, Tony Dungy. Oh my goodness. J.R.R. Tolkien. Well, I always couldn't figure out, why does he have two R's? Go back up, Spencer. So goes my lesson. After talking, I'm reading at the bottom, Spencer. I'm sorry. I didn't go clear to the bottom. But Fred. So goes my lesson. After talking with other people, I received a slew of great answers. Pope Francis, Frederick Buchner, Wendell Berry, Madeline Lane, Jerry Jenkins, who wrote Left Behind, Mel Gibson, Carrie Underwood. Alice Cooper. Tim Tebow. Folks, I'm not making this up. Tom Brady. Ronald Reagan. Stephen Colbert. But with each of these fine recommendations, these are fine recommendations, Mark Burnett, Scott Derrickson, Stephen Colbert. Katy Perry, we might throw her in there. Huh? We're sick, folks. We are sick as a culture and a society. Ray, come on in.
Well, folks, these are all worldly influencers. They have their rewards already. And I'll tell you who the real true heroes are. And I just made a quick list of 7 people that I know personally that are greater influences, that are billionaires up in heaven. Some are here with us. Some have already gone. Remember Ron Brock?
Yes.
All right. And Bill Shanks, the mayor of New Orleans.
Yes, sir.
Look what he's done. Flip Benham. Donna and Dan Holman.
Oh, my goodness.
OSA, Jason Storms and Rusty, and Flip included. Mark Harrington, Created Equal. These are the heroes. These are the billionaires. These are the real influencers. That's plus right. You, Coach.
Amen. Thanks, Ray. And ain't none of them rich, buddy. Ain't none of them rich.
Add Russ Dizdar to that list.
Russ Dizdar. You can throw him in there, right? Oh, I could throw some others in there, right? Oh, my goodness. Folks, you understand this? Yeah, pull up Matthew chapter 5 real quickly. I'm going to get you in there, James, I promise. Matthew chapter 5. Bear with me, folks. And seeing the multitude as he went up the mountain, when he went up, he said himself, his disciples came to him, he opened his mouth, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn. Scroll down, Spence, I'm going to do this fast. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, not peacekeepers, peacemakers. Blessed are they which... Hang on! Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when they shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For that's how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You're the salt of the earth. But if you start acting like sugar, how are you ever going to be salty again? It's good for nothing to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You're the light of the world. City set on a hill can be hid. Neither do men like to hide the truth in a candle, put it under a bushel. Let your light shine before men. They see your good works, glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
I thought we're not supposed to have works. Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy it. Horrible. James Thomas, quickly, man. Say, yeah, hang on. This is the best show ever, I think. Go ahead, James.
What is the common denominator of all those people that you just, as far as church leaders, what is the number one thing they are? 501c3 churches.
Oh boy.
So when you've got government that controls the narrative of the church, this is exactly what you get. COVID was really bad in a sense, but it was really good, I think, for the church because it pulled a lot of people out of the false church. And, you know, it's kind of sad because there are little churches that really do good that have suffered the consequences of it too, I think. But
so James, can I say this, James? Just honestly asking this. If 4 years ago you went to a church that shut down because of COVID, why are you there?
I would never go there again.
Why would you ever go there?
It's kind of like they threw their congregants to the wolves. I got thrown out of a church going, you know, you got to wear a mask. I said, well, you know, Jesus made a statement before he left. He said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? This is where we find ourselves. Will I find faith?
Well, James, we're finding faith, but our faith is in government and in experts and atheistic, humanistic teachings. We still have faith. We just have faith in the wrong thing.
That's not really faith. I'm talking about faith in.
I understand.
God of Abraham. You know what he designed for us, you know, in the early church. That's why the early church, they gathered from house to house, breaking bread, loving one another, and going out. And the church grew 5,000 and 3,000. It grew tremendously because that's why the Lord was with them. And you know, once this Lyndon Johnson 501c3, I mean, it's just neutered the church. I can't trust any of them myself.
You know what? Listen, okay, James. Listen, folks, are you gonna look at me? I'm gonna coach here for a minute. Why do men become pastors? Would you ask yourself that? Why do they become pastors?
They can't become movie stars.
Okay, well, hang on. That's a rhetorical question. I'll never forget, I've shared this before, John Cooper, who was a football coach at Ohio State University during the, I think it was the 80s, 90s, I lose track of time, doesn't matter. I took our coaching staff over to, we got a chance to sit down with John Cooper, spoke to our coaching staff, yada, 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 how to coach, and it's all good. But I'll never forget what he said as we're getting ready to leave. I'll never forget it. He said, one thing that you have to, if you're going to be a successful coach, you better understand the nature of your players. He said, you can't make a non-aggressive person aggressive. It's almost impossible to do. It's natural born. You can't make it. And you can't harness a stallion. Are you with me, friends? You can't make a stallion. You cannot domesticate a stallion, not a real one. And you can't make the old gray mare be a stallion. Mm-hmm. And so the problem we have right now in America, and again, what Coach Cooper said to us at the end, is when you evaluate your talent, you evaluate your players, you better remember this. You ready? If they don't bite as puppies, they won't bite as a dog. Did you hear that? You know what we got in the pulpit? What did I just read? Isaiah 56:10. Dogs that cannot bark. Have a great weekend. See you.
Boom. Man.